Blog Talk Radio.
Soul Talk Show. You are tuned in to Let's Talk About It, an open mic episode this evening discussing and hoping to raise even more awareness regarding domestic violence It is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, at least for another 2 days. My name is Dee Dee Wright. I am the host of the Poetic Soul Talk Show. I'm also the author of Poetry to Life, Youth Struggle Love, as well as Dear Royals, Panhandlers, and Hopeful Souls, 42 published letters. In addition to that, I am a veteran teacher representing the Boogie Down Bronx all day, every day, and the small business owner of Poetic Soul, Inc., providing writing services and gifts to inspire. Now that I've introduced myself, I do hope to hear everyone's voice this evening. The last episode we did was regarding breast cancer awareness. This is the month of awareness. If you were not able to tune into that very dope episode, please do so by visiting blogtalkradio.com/poetrytolife. Once again, 2 being the number 2. At that web address, you can also tune in to over 60 episodes, both open mic episodes as well as interviews with authors, poets, and artists spanning across the country to California and then far north to Canada. We've definitely tried to impact and get to everyone possible. Now that it's over, let's get through a few of the protocols for those of you that are new tuning into the Poetic Soul Talk Show this evening. Thank you so much for your time. Please feel free to join in the conversation. We are a welcoming community, and your voice definitely matters. If you would like to speak on the air tonight and you're listening on the phone, you may press *1 at any point in time. You will go into queue, and I will definitely get to you before the end of the episode. If you are going to speak on the air tonight, we, and I'm not going to just say me, but we ask that you please mute all background noise because none of us can hear you. The sound is exacerbated in the studio, so just please mute all background noise so that it doesn't interfere with our ability to hear your voice. If you have not yet followed the Poetic Soul Talk Show, please do so by visiting the website, blogtalkradio.com/poetrytolife, 2 being the number 2. Follow the show, make acquaintances with the other followers that we do have, and also follow us on Instagram at Poetic Soul Talk Show, no hyphens, no periods, everything spelled correctly, and that's where you'll see our community, and I do a lot of reposting of those who have been supportive of and continue to support this platform. And so now that that's over with, if you're listening online, welcome. Your voice is welcome as well. Of course, in a different capacity, please feel free to send any questions, comments, feedback that you may have this evening via the chat box, and I will definitely read that aloud on the air this evening. This episode is a very taboo topic, in my opinion, and yes, it still is. And we don't just want poets to speak, although, of course, poetry is welcome. And if you have any poetry to share, please do not hesitate to do so. If you would like to join the conversation, share facts that you may know or have heard. If you would like to add a comment, even if you would like to share your testimony, all of the above is welcome. We are a poetic family. However, it is not just a family of poets. Any motion to share regarding domestic violence in any way, shape, or form, please don't hesitate to do so. We hope that you feel comfortable throughout this episode and are inspired to not only share what you may have heard and learned, but also to return to the Poetic Soul Talk Show once again. And so I do see that there are callers waiting, and I will definitely get to the phone line. I wanted to throw a general question out there to anybody listening and tell me what you think. Are women still blamed for domestic violence that is impacted upon them? Is the victim still blamed for domestic violence? That's the first question. The second question is, do you not believe that domestic violence also happens to men? Once again, with the breast cancer episode that we had week before last, men are also affected by breast cancer. I don't want to exclude the men regardless of the likelihood or the frequency, but I do want to get questions about that. Is it more acceptable for a female to be abused than it is for a male, you know? And why is this such a taboo topic still? Why is it something people still feel you know, creepy crawly about discussing why is it that no one really wants to address it. And that goes both in our own immediate communities as well as in the media. Why is this something that we still, almost like, you know, suicide and mental illness, like we still kind of iffy about it? And so, you know, at any given time you want to answer any of those questions, definitely press star one on the phone, and I will definitely welcome your answer. So we're going to go to the first caller. Greetings. Welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Who are we speaking to, and where are you calling from?
This is King Flair. I'm calling from Chicago.
Hey, King Flair. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to hear your voice again. You tuned in. We welcome and appreciate you.
Definitely, definitely. I've been waiting, you know, 2 long weeks to get back on the show.
Well, we're welcoming you, and hopefully you won't have to wait as long for the next time. By the way, King Flair called in for the first time and spit a very deep poem regarding breast cancer awareness 2 weeks ago. Once again, if you didn't tune into that episode, you definitely need to hear it at blogtalkradio.com/poetrytolife. King Flair wrote it in lieu of the episode, and the way he wrote it, you would have thought, you know, that he had a very personal experience with it, but that's what us poets do. So anyway, King Flair, back to you. What do you have to say, if anything, regarding domestic violence?
It's not really a big subject to me because I've never really been around it, you know. You know, okay. On Facebook, all you see these days are a bunch of males hitting females, and everybody sharing it, everybody talking about it, laughing like it's cooling on, you know. It's not, I can't respect somebody who actually puts their hands on a female. And really, if you're a female putting your hands on a male, that at the same time is wrong in itself. If you don't want a male to hit you, I feel like you shouldn't hit them. But in no way, shape, or form am I saying that that justifies a male hitting a female either. I don't think,
right.
I think in a domestic situation, I don't think it should be violent at all.
I agree with you 100%. So you've had no experiences, or do you know of anyone who has had experiences? And you may very well know people that have had them, and you don't even know that that's what they've experienced. But I'm talking about in terms of your own knowledge of it. As far as you know, you don't know any women who've been in that situation.
Not that I can recall, no.
Okay. That's fine. That's actually a very good thing. They say 1 in 4 women will or have been in a domestic violence situation. So, you know, at least you, as far as the women you know, hopefully they've defied that statistic.
Right.
Do you have poetry to share with us this evening regarding it?
I do. I didn't write it today like I did last time because, you know, you guys gave me, like, what, 20 minutes up.
You killed it, though. You killed that poem in 20 minutes.
I mean, but that was last time. I had, like, 4 hours last time. This time I only had 20 minutes.
Okay. So you had to dig in the crate.
Yeah, I had to reword something. But it should go well.
I'm pretty sure it will. I don't doubt your skills at all. So whenever you're ready, we're listening.
All right. It sounds good. All right, here we go.
Okay.
What are relationship goals? You see a pic of two people kiss or a family portrait with some cute kids and automatically you wish your life like theirs. No clue to the things you miss. Misleading pics, what life do they really live? He's like, I want a wife like his, while she's like, I wish I could have a man. Well, let's see. Behind the scenes, he likes the beat. Her into submission so she can't rise to her feet. She cries and screams, reaching for things, but she's a broken wife, hiding her pain behind beautiful smiles and 81 likes. Questioning God, like, what did she do to deserve this life? Questioning her man, like, did I do right? But night after night, it's all the same. Treating, beating, and for the same, so she goes insane. Grabs a gun from under her bed and puts 2 in his head, but because she's broken, she knows no life outside of him. She turns to steal on herself, looks to God, and silences her brain, lying down cold next to him. Oh, my God. I forgot to mention they have 2 kids, and the kids were present when mommy was getting smacked down. it was a cool ass lesson, and the lesson didn't stop even when mommy was pregnant. They went to school every day believing mommy deserved it. So young and so observant, serving daddy's every whim like little obedient servants. Till one day they heard mom relieve two burdens. But relationship goals, though, right? In peace.
Wow. Wow. That was deep and dope. Deep and dope. I almost don't know if I should say it was dope because it was sad, but it's real. It's real, and
yes,
and that is why I appreciate it. You just brought up another topic. I didn't know if we would have time to touch on it, but the way in which it affects children and the way, you know, some children grow up in that situation thinking it's okay, as you stated in your poem, and then they kind of carry that with them and kind of emulate it throughout the rest of their lives. A lot of deep points you touched on.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Definitely stay tuned in. Follow him on Instagram, King Flair 21, KingFlare21. 21. Don't hang up, King Flair. Stay with us.
How long is this show going to be on tonight? Because I have to call into another show tonight too, but I'll stay on until that one and I'll come back.
Okay, great. We're on till 10:30 Eastern Standard Time this evening. If we need that much time, we'll have that much time.
Oh, I'll definitely come back.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time. Okay, hold on one moment.
The next one.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank
you. Y'all are tuned in to Let's Talk About It on the Poetic Soul Talk Show, Open Mic Edition, discussing domestic violence awareness. As we know, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. I'm not going to waste too much time talking too much in between time, but I did want to, before I go to the next call, throw a really quick fact out there, and that is, just in case those who are tuned in didn't know, domestic violence does not discriminate. It is not about race, culture, socioeconomic background, educational background, lifestyle, career. It is not, it does not discriminate. And so, you know, I think some people sometimes tend to think, oh, that could never be me, or oh, I understand why it is A, B, and C, and I just really want to eliminate that stereotype and myth. It definitely doesn't discriminate. But we're going to go to the next caller. Greetings. Welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Who are we speaking to, and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Greetings. Well, hi, Adela.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good.
Great. Well, I blew spot up, so pardon me. Please introduce yourself to the audience, because some may not know your voice or who you are. So where are you, what is your name, and where are you calling from?
My name is Adela, and I am calling from San Antonio, Texas.
What's up, Adela?
What's going on?
Nothing much. Adela was looking forward to this episode, and Adela is a past poet as well as a prior guest on the Poetic Soul Talk. So that's how I knew who she was before you guys did. But thanks for calling, Adela. And please, please shed some light. Share with us why this is an important topic to you. I know when I first posted it, like last week, that it would be this Thursday, you know, you were very excited. And share with us your thoughts.
It's a very familiar subject for me. And it's one that I have witnessed and one that I have endured. And, you know, a mother of two single young men, it is extremely important to me that if I do nothing else right in this world, that I want to raise my children to be, you know, great men that respect women, men with compassion, conscious men, you know. And so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
that's pretty good reason. Now, that's two really, really good reasons, actually, you know, to kind of not perpetuate the issue. And what happens way too often and on a daily basis. Is there any information you want to share? Is there any inspiration you would like to share aside, you know, for from explaining why this is an important topic to you?
I think the fact that the men that I've attracted, the people that I've attracted, you know, throughout my 40 years, you know, on this lovely earth, and it was when I turned 35 that that I had a rude awakening, and that's when my journey began. So I was exhausted, tired of being mute, you know, and pretending mm-hmm. like everything was okay, and having to bear this load of forgiveness on my back, because, you know, that was the right thing to do, and you're still here, so why is it a big deal, kind of, you know,
right.
something that was not going to be talked about in family, or it was just, you know, secrets pushed under the rug, and as long as they stayed contained, that was okay, you know, we didn't want
right.
to. We didn't want to, you know, taint the honor of family.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of women deal with that factor of shame and, you know, oh, as long as we can keep it a secret, you know, not thinking that it's possible. And a lot of the times, you know, secrets, they grow up and they have hands and feet and they start to fight, you know, the person who's trying to keep them down. And, you know, not to be so poetic about it, but I mean, really, that's kind of my opinion about it. But I definitely appreciate your honesty and saying and sharing that, and even sharing your age, because I think some people think, oh, you know, people just think wrong and don't have the facts. And so even you stating, you know, you're 40, and by the way, she looks 24 for those of you that may not follow her. Shout out your IG handle real quick, Adela. Who are you on Instagram?
It is _i.m.unedited.poetry.
Okay, now, y'all go follow Adela. I repost her pics from time to time when she's not cussing and stuff. So that's a little inside joke we have. Yeah, so, yeah, I definitely applaud and appreciate you sharing that. Do you have poetry for us this evening? I just know you do. You've been anticipating. I knew you did. So
yes,
we are welcoming that poetry. Please, whenever you're ready to share, we're listening.
Okay. In poem, you will find the right numbers. And in the right order, my voices will be unleashed. 06-02-2013. Unlocked. Twilight has set in, and in the desert of my cactus tongue, sharp outlines are projected against my mouth's horizon. Fires blaze in the crevices of my lips. Charred voices and word carcasses have suffered agonizing deaths, only to be revived by the midday sun. Shadows begin to dramatically unfold. I fight to shove you down in attempts to fade you back to black. But nightmare after nightmare, I can't scratch you out of my memory. So I stand underneath the dark side of the moon, far away from the slightest glint of her light. Because to stand underneath her intense beam would only illuminate the sea of bite marks, word limits, tongue lashes, choke holes, and bruises my mind has kept record of. Elevated scars landmark my body, warning you of your next step. For this landmine of sound bites and 12,418 daily mental massacres will decapitate your soul if you dare to step any closer. 06-02-2015. Unlocked. And just southwest of noon, like those before you who brutally conquered my flesh and pierced my mind with no exit wound, I still feel you inside me. My heart refuses to grant me another rest mark, so I rise to the inhaling of a morning fog, only to violently spit grains of gritty sand inside gargling crimson waters, and I wonder if you remembered me today. I ask myself, what was he thinking that day? Did he wake up from last night's hole in the wall with an intoxicating lust hangover? Did he misinterpret the curve of my smile as an invitation to invade my flesh? Did the oils my skin secreted taste of fear when he forced himself between my earth, quaking thighs and attempts to penetrate underneath my clothes? I want to know, what was he thinking when he took over my body with rage while raping the most intoxicating part of me, my mind? End of poem.
Oh, girl. Now, wow. Okay, so I'm used to your voice, you know, touching nerves because you have a very melodic way of slamming. But the things that you said, and the one thing that stood out was the mental torture of it all. And I think that is, you know, I'm looking for things that I might have not jotted down or forgotten, you know, in lieu of this episode. And the mental aspect is why people stay. They are not mentally healthy after enduring, you know, these very traumatic circumstances. And so I just really, really, really thank you from the bottom of my heart for not just your courage, but, you know, even your humility in the situation and sharing. It takes a lot of courage to do so.
Thank you. I really appreciate you for having me.
You are so welcome. You're not going anywhere, are you? I may need to run back to you, as I've done in the past.
I'll stay on hold. I'm about to go recite an open mic, but I'll call right back in.
All right now. Well, try to get yourself recorded so you can send it to me via link and
yes.
I can post it.
All right.
Thank
you
so much. Okay. Hold on 1 minute, Adela. Tuned in to Let's Talk About It on the Poetic Soul Talk Show. We are discussing domestic violence in both poetic form and in conversation. I see the phone lines are lit up, and this is a beautiful thing, so I'm not going to talk too much. But I did also want to throw out there, in between going to callers, just little tidbits of information for perhaps you to ponder or pass on or consider whenever thinking about or hearing about domestic violence. But as Adela stated, the mental abuse is, I believe, probably far more challenging and difficult to overcome than the physical scars that, you know, people endure. That mental abuse is something else. And so keep in mind it's a multifaceted issue and way of breaking a person, not just a woman, down on different levels in order to maintain some level of control. And that's usually what the abusers are seeking and trying to maintain. So with that being said, I'm going to go to the next caller. Greetings. Welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Who are we speaking to and where are you calling from? Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Greetings. Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I am great. Please tell the audience who you are and where you're calling from if they don't know your voice by now.
This is Steve Howell, a.k.a. Stunning One, calling from Arkansas.
Steve from Arkansas is a major supporter. I think he's been one of the biggest since day one of the Poetic Soul Talk Show in June of 2014. He's been on open mics. He's contributed to conversations. He's been a guest twice before. Steve, also known as Stunning One on Instagram. Thank you so much for calling in this evening, Steve. I am really interested in hearing what you have to contribute to this conversation and, you know, your perspective on domestic violence.
Yes, ma'am. I say in reference to the first question, I pretty much agree with the first cat that called in. I don't feel like you should ever put your hands on a woman. There again, you know, the woman should never put herself in that position to have that happen. But just like what he said, that if she does so, that does not justify you laying your hands back on her.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, I'm going to throw something out there, and don't text me later saying I always do this to you and et cetera. But you just said something that sparked a thought in my mind. Are we saying that women should never, ever, women are not on the same level as men in terms of being able to physically defend themselves? So are we not putting our hands on females because it's the wrong thing to do? Or are we somehow or another saying they're weaker, therefore they should not be touched by a man? I just really want to know, you know, what's behind the thought of it being said. Either way, there's no wrong answer. I'm just digging a little bit.
You done stumped me now, but I just don't feel like a man has any right to ever put his hand on a woman. And that's not me saying that a woman is weaker than a man in any sense, but
you're going based off just, the definition of a man.
It's not in me. I mean, maybe I was raised differently, but mama said, never put your hands on a woman. And I feel that's very strongly something you should not do.
Do you know of any women, or have you encountered any who have been in a domestic violence situation?
I had a friend of mine, and him and his girlfriend were pretty much that typical couple that both of them were very abusive to each other. It was a war waiting to happen. It's terrible.
It is. What, if anything, or advice would you have to give to people listening that may either be in that situation or know someone close to them that is in that situation, based on your observation of the friends you had? What advice would you give them?
This is my main thing. This is something that I've never understood, and I wrote this piece because I was having a hard time trying to understand it, is why does someone allow themselves to continually go through that? It's just a vicious cycle, and they go back, and they go back, and they go back. Okay. He's going to change, or she's going to change, whichever the situation may be, but know your worth.
Know your worth.
You don't deserve it. Nobody deserves to be put through that.
I agree 1,000%. I think it also demonstrates at some points possibly what you just stated, some type of underlying self-esteem issue as for staying. We know that can happen at any given time, but we also will hopefully learn, if not know, that once that happens, it's time to pack up and go. And never look back.
Absolutely.
What
did the cat say in the first poem? He said something like, that's because that's all she knows.
Mm-hmm. And that aspect of children too.
Yeah, there is so much more out there for you to know than that.
But think about it, and I'm sorry to hold you all that are waiting. I'm going to definitely get to you. The episode has been a bit more extended because I assumed we would get a large response, which is a beautiful thing. Please stay with us. But, Steve, I didn't grow up in a household with it. Imagine a young female who did, and that's all she's ever seen. And now she's come into womanhood assuming that, as a result of the experience. It's assuming it's normal. So if a man maybe doesn't put his hands on her, maybe he doesn't love her. Maybe this is what she's thinking. I'm only speculating. And then trying to break that cycle from that point moving forward in her life so that I don't know how it feels. But I would imagine that has to be, very hard. I grew up and was raised a Christian. I would have a very hard time dealing with someone or staying in a situation with someone who maybe didn't share my views in that or my values in that regard. You know what I mean? So I just take it from that perspective. But Yeah. We'll be on the phone all night, Stephen. Nobody else will be able to say anything. So I know you have a pretty deep poem, as you briefly mentioned it a moment ago. Whenever you're ready to share, we're listening.
And you know where I stand, though. Let me say this real quick. You know where I stand with the Lord. And I would tell you right now, if I were to see that in public, and well, I would love nothing more than to put this boot right upside your face. And then pray for forgiveness about it.
Oh, my God. Well, there you go. Steve said he prayed and God would forgive you, too. I don't think it would be, but we
feel like doing.
We're not perfect. And if nobody else knows that, God knows that for sure. He would forgive you.
That's right.
But I'm glad to hear that. At least we know it's a boot out there waiting for those that might be tuned in, double agents. Yeah, don't get smacked with Steve's boot now.
All right.
Oh, yes. We're ready, Steve.
She says she's had enough, and she's on her way out the door. She can't take the abuse from him anymore. She's been verbally assaulted and physically as well. This life that she's been living has been absolute hell. Days filled with fear of what he might actually do if she were to ever say to him, "I am through." Nights filled with tears from years of endless pain. She's scared to death but tries her best to maintain. She keeps telling herself maybe tomorrow will be better. But every night her pillow seems to be wetter. She thinks that if she tries hard enough that eventually he'll change. In the meantime, her face is the only thing he's decided to rearrange. She's afraid to go out in public because she doesn't want anyone to know. Her relationships with others dwindle away, but her bruises continue to grow. She feels as though she has no other choice. He makes her tremble at the sound of his voice. She feels as though this is somehow her fault. She's an open wound, and he provides assault. Physically, he's a man, but she finally realizes he's no man at all. Her first step towards freedom, even though it may seem small. One word that can be used to describe a man that does such things would be a coward. He's ugly, weak, and scared, and only does it so he'll feel empowered. But what he doesn't realize is he has no power whatsoever. Since when is it okay to hit a woman? Absolutely never. It took her long enough to realize this, but now it's something that she can finally understand. That in no way, shape, or form, if you do this, can you ever consider yourself to be a man. So she's had enough, and she's on her way out the door to find the man that she's always dreamed of, and so much more.
Well, Steve, you just took every aspect. What an inspirational poem, and I really do hope that there is a female listening that knows somebody that can pass along the link to this episode, because this is what they may need in order to save their own lives. So I thank you so much, Steve, for sharing that and for your boot being in prep mode to smack the crap out of somebody if necessary.
That's right.
You know, and and for you just sharing, you know, your views this evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity and the platform to do so.
Yes, Steve. Don't go anywhere. I may have to come back to you. I'm saying the same thing to everybody, but the other two hung up. Hopefully they'll call back in. Stay with us, Steve. Don't go anywhere.
Yes, ma'am.
Hold on one moment. Y'all are tuned in to Let's Talk About It, Domestic Violence Awareness on the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Poets, people sharing stories, anecdotes, solutions, questions, and very dope poetry. I am going to go to the next caller. For those of you tuned in, I'm getting through the list. Don't worry. I will get to everybody before the episode is over. And so I'm going to the next caller. Greetings. Welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Who are we speaking to and where are you calling from?
Good evening, Poetic Family. This is the birthday boy still.
Yes.
Calling from Brooklyn, New York.
And your name, sir?
I go by the name of Life is Corleo.
Shout out to Life is Choreo, whose birthday passed, whose birthday was the day before my Velcro's Unleashed 03s. Y'all Scorpios, y'all representing, huh? Enjoy
Don't
y'all time. Enjoy y'all time. Yeah, enjoy y'all time. It's coming to an end real soon. But I'm not. Hey, did you enjoy your birthday? Put that stinger
yes,
back
I,
in.
I still am. I took 2 weeks off from work and.
Oh, you are showing off.
I have the time. I'm gonna take it.
You should, as you should. Well, I'm glad, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the time. I know your birthday was Sunday, and so you have quite a few days left in that vacation to, you know, celebrate whatever way you see fit, and you should, as you should. So, Life is Choreo. I saw that you reposted on Instagram, and you said a little blurb below the repost about what you've witnessed and what your eyes have seen, and that this is going to be an episode for healing, which I just thought was super dope. And so share with us your perspective or possible observations and experiences regarding domestic violence.
Mm. Well, you know, I always have that anomaly perspective, so I'm just going to go ahead and jump right in.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like abuse isn't circumstantial. I think a lot of abuse, particularly domestic violence, I think is generational. A lot of matriarchs and even patriarchs, a lot of our, you know, grandmothers and great-grandmothers and grandfathers, you know, would get into, you know, relationships and stress would get involved with trying to provide for the family. And that by no means justifies what happens, but what a lot of those relationships will experience is domestic violence, and the kids grow up under it. And, you know, like Steve said, it's like you see it and it's like, this is normal. This is unfortunately a way for someone to express love, as warped as that sounds.
An oxymoron.
Absolutely. And a lot of kids grow up and configure in their mind that when I'm upset, this is how I express my love. That's how warped it is. So they grow up, and that's how they express themselves. And the chain just gets longer and longer and longer until somebody decides to break it.
Mm-hmm.
And that
challenge becomes more and more difficult, considering how many, you know, generations before. It's definitely a historical thing. I was reading something somewhere. I read a lot in different places. I can't recall exactly where, but the article was pretty much talking about, you know, a time when it wasn't even illegal to hit a female. You know, it was like we were more property in the regard of, you know, male on female domestic violence. And so a wife or a woman could not call the police, could not go down to the courthouse. You know, it was like there was just nothing to protect her from that. And, you know, from then to now and where we've come from. But even that mindset could still possibly exist today. I'm pretty sure for a lot of people it does. And so, yeah, I think that was a really good point, you know, for you to make in terms of the historical perspective of this issue. And thank you for sharing that. I know you are one that holds women in high regard, at least, you know, most of the time, and even when you're angry, you don't seem to be belligerently angry, where you're still kind of like blaming the victim for their own circumstances. And, you know, we've discussed this before. So thank you so much for sharing that, Life is Choreo. Do you have a poem to share?
Absolutely, yes.
Absolutely.
And I'm sorry, I'm pretty sure Steve is still on the line, by the way. Life is Choreo. Poetic Soul Talk Show. Y'all are tuned in to the Domestic Violence Awareness episode. And, you know, some of these poets are actually characters in my mind on this show. Like, you know, what's the name of that show that I love so much with Shelton? I don't remember the name of the show, but it's, anyway, Steve in Life is Choreo, there's this joke, and Steve has been like, you know, make sure you get to me before you go to Life is Choreo, because I don't want to have to, you know, say a poem after him. And it's just a joke, but it's funny how it works out that way. And in the queue, Steve is usually queued up to be spoken to prior to Life is Choreo this evening. It happened to be right one behind the other. So I just wanted to throw that out there because I just enjoy, you know, laughter. But, yeah, Life is Choreo. Sorry to interrupt you. Whenever you're ready, we're listening.
No, that's quite all right. I was actually kind of laughing as I was listening because I figured at some point he was going to mention it or I was going to mention it. But,
right. I beat you. No. Yes.
It's cool.
I'm pretty sure Steve is listening as well and laughing also. But, yeah, okay. So we're back to being very serious and we're discussing domestic violence. We can't laugh too much. But, yes, Life is Choreo. Whenever you're ready to bless us, our ears are open.
Gotcha. The title of this poem is called Shea Butter. And I prelude this piece by saying I am both an observant to domestic violence as well as a survivor.
Thank you for that courageous admission.
Yes. 13 years. That in mind with the presentation of this piece. And it reads as follows. My eyes come from a heart that's shattered. And that's why real love matters to me. The kind that has consonants and vowels. You hear what I said? The kind that has consonants and vowels. Towels wrung dry of screams. Strangled by shattered dreams. Eyes gleam in the morning of dark. But just a little spark of help. See, generationally, I know that iron fist because it was slammed into my face until my nose sang scarlet letters simply because I was hungry. Eyes gloss, heavily choked over to the verge of passed out simply because I wanted out. And those same bare hands that coughed up many of my boyhood dreams in my boyhood years, tears that became a layer to my beautiful brown skin. I went to bed some nights being told that I was hated from within. 13 long years that I can never get back of back to back to back, a serious lack of restraint. Many years painted sanguine because of the king within. And it is for that reason why I heal with my words. And the heavenly bird that is a birthmark on my neck. It is the power that cleanses, but I'll never forget. I come from a pair of eyes that was once shattered, and that's why things of the heart will forever matter, because these hands heal, for I was abandoned to discover a warrior. And that's that piece.
Woo. Well, the word warrior and the truth within those words and the way you mentioned, you know, even the way it affected just self-perception in terms of going to bed at night, you know, being told you were hated from within, it just illustrates and speaks to the point of it being a real mental battle, you know, in addition to the physical scars you have to deal with your mind at that point in time. And so, you know, I think in all of these poems, there's bits and pieces that we can learn and carry with us to deliver to someone at some point in time who may really be able to use them and apply them to their own lives. And so thank you so much for sharing, Life is Choreo.
Absolutely.
Thank you. For those of you that don't know, Life is Choreo is also a supporter, a donor, a previous guest on, I would say, 95-96% of the episodes, and we have over 60 on blogtalkradio.com. Shout out your IG handle real quick for those that may not know. I see a lot of new callers this evening. We're hoping to hear your voice as well, but definitely Life is Choreo. Share your Instagram name.
Absolutely. It's life underscore is choreo, as in choreography, C-H-O-R-E-O.
Definitely go follow him. He doesn't post as much as he used to, but he's a dancer and a singer and a poet and an artist and a very kindred soul, and there you will be able to get to know him and his thoughts a little bit better. Are you going to stay with us?
Yes, I'll be here.
Okay, hold on one moment. What an episode thus far. What an episode. And it's funny because we've heard from three males and one female thus far. I'm not saying it will remain that way. I'm definitely getting ready to go back to the phone lines. But once again, another tidbit or fact that you may not have, may not know about or may need to pass on. Safer Horizons is an organization that provides free counseling and even housing to victims of domestic violence, as well as their families if there are children involved. They are a 24/7 hotline as well. I don't have the number, but it varies anyway depending on the state. Safer Horizons, if you Google it, share it to your Facebook page. A lot of times victims of domestic violence are very silent, and sometimes they give themselves away that way. But just post the information, and hopefully, you know, if someone needs it, at least it'll be staring them right in the face. And with that being said, of course, I'm going to go to the next caller. Greetings, welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Who are we speaking to, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Keith, and I'm calling from Houston, Texas.
Keith?
Q-U-I-S-E, Keith.
Keith. Hi, how are you? Welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. This is the first time we're hearing your voice. Thank you so much for calling in this evening.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I was invited by Authentically Speaking.
Yes. So, what, if anything, would you like to say or share or, you know, inform the audience of regarding domestic violence? Is it, you know, something you're familiar with personally, or, you know, something you're just passionate about? Please share your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. Domestic violence is not at all okay from either side. I mean, it doesn't discriminate at all. And it's also not only physical. I mean, that people don't realize domestic violence is not only physical. I mean, it's mental, it's verbal, it's any way other than love that you can express your feelings toward another person.
Absolutely.
And yes, I too have been a victim of domestic violence, so that's why I came to support the show.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for being courageous enough to admit it and, you know, throw it out there. There's definitely a stereotype with it being women being the victims all the time. And there's definitely a stereotype with, you know, oh, he didn't hit me, you know. And, you know, on my Poetry to Life page, I posted an image that really jumped out at me. It's like a fist coming out of a man's mouth going towards a woman's face. And it's, you know, the caption is verbal abuse. And I don't think some people count that, really. And so thank you so much for, you know, reminding us of that. Verbal emotional abuse is also domestic violence. I mean, it really just breaks the mind down. You know, from your own personal perspective and experience, what do you advise a person who is in the midst of a situation, of a domestic violence situation? What do you say to that person to, you know, encourage them to leave it and get help?
I advise them to notice the warning signs. The warning signs is not only the verbal, the cussing, the talking bad to you, the just dismantling your whole spirit, but also playing like they're going to hit you or playing too hard or swinging at you, just pretending. That's not pretending, because one of those days they're going to connect with those pretend punches and hit you for real. So notice the warning signs.
And what do they do when they see these warning signs? I mean, I think I know the answer, but let's just be as clear as possible. What do they do when they notice that? You know, the play fighting and the cussing ad and name calling. What does a person do at that moment that they notice it?
That moment when they notice it, the first thing to do is tell someone that you care about. Tell someone that cares about you. Just so happens if it really happens, then they'll know who to go to when they contact the authorities. I mean, let somebody know that you trust.
Trust and confide in someone if you're listening. And, you know, if you know someone, let them know that as well. Thank you so much for sharing that this evening. Do you have poetry to share with us as well?
Absolutely. The piece I wrote is actually from what I came from, when I came out of the abuse.
Well, wow. So, yes, whenever you're ready, we're listening.
Okay, it's called The Other Side of the Game. Not paying any mind the first time, because once upon a time, I didn't mind. I thought it was playtime, you know, we love taps, so I played along not knowing those taps were a trap. See, I'm a man, so I was raised, no matter how hard the taps, you do not hit a woman back. Those playing taps turn smacks, turn into semi-slaps to damn. I don't think she's playing, starting to feel misused. They're getting harder than a bruise, then come to the realization that I'm being abused. See, it's like what the world's used to, but a switcheroo. As little as the world pays attention to, men do get abused too, see. The trap was being caught in entrapment between myself being looked at as less than a man or abusive piece of crap, the taking the risk of being beat down by the authorities and anyone else that feels justified right where I stand, so I choose to remain me. I'm a man. I could take it. But bruise after bruise came excuse after excuse. I mean, no matter how much you gave me the blues, what the hell was I going to say or who could I run to? Too proud to mention it, although my pride simply diminished and it took my daughter to witness this to conclusion. I'm sick of this. Then a teacher heard my daughter mention this, which she involved CPS, which they involved HPD now, because she couldn't see, keep the peace. We're now sitting in front of the justice of the peace. Now instead of trying to fight on me, she's in a fight of her life. Child custody. See her fight, my gift. Awarded full permanent custody. Now the fake ass Layla Ali pays child support to me, see. People, sometimes things are as bad as they seem, but not to the point where someone's getting beat. As I still remain the man I'll always be. Pay attention. Men aren't always the guilty party. Peace.
Oof, my heart is beating. My heart is beating fast, like my heart is beating. You said a couple of things, and I can't. I was too busy trying not to miss the next thing you said to really fully focus on. But you said now the Layla Ali is paying child support to you. And you mentioned, you know, who do you run to? Who do you talk to and tell? Considering,
man, I mean,
you know.
It's pretty much a pride thing with a man. So it was like bruise after bruise came excuse after excuse, no matter how much you gave me blues. What was I going to say or who could I run to? You know what I mean?
And who did you run to? Or maybe not run, because I know a man's pride doesn't like that word, but who did you turn to? Who did you share with? Who you know, provided you with support?
Well, actually, the last instance that happened, one of the neighbors called the police, and she ended up going to jail for it because they saw me like bleeding, like just really bleeding. So The only one that I confided in afterwards was one of my brothers.
Wow. The courage to share. The courage to share is so very much appreciated. We really hope that you continue to call in, and just share. If not, your own personal experiences, then your poetry. Do you happen to be on Instagram?
Yes, ma'am.
What's your Instagram name?
It's at Keys, the Notebook. It's all one word, Keise, the Notebook.
Keys, the Notebook. I'm going to go follow you and repost your IG page so that the followers of the Poetic Soul Talk Show can also follow you. And what a blessing, it is that you've called in. I really hope to hear your voice again soon.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Please hold on. Don't go anywhere. We are in the house tonight. There's one big eye up there, and I'm thinking this is from the chat box. I'm thinking that this has to do with probably the presence of God over us all. And so I did have to read that. Sorry for the brief pause. Y'all are tuned in to Domestic Violence Awareness on the Poetic Soul Talk Show this evening. We've been talking to many different male poets sharing their experiences as far as being victims, and even one who stated if they see it happening in their presence, they taking off their boot despite being a Christian. And so we definitely welcome all voices, whether you are a poet or not. And we have about 33 minutes or so left in the episode. Still callers waiting, who I am getting to very shortly. I did want to just, again, throw another piece of information out there. Keith, the poet, just mentioned the spiritual breakdown of a victim of domestic violence and the spiritual dismantling, to be more specific. And so you see how many different levels it's on. Oftentimes, people have the courage to lash out in an abusive way physically when dynamics have changed, when a woman has lost her job, when she seems more codependent, when she's lost a relative, when she's had a baby, when she is more vulnerable. And I'm assuming it would be the same for male victims and female abusers. People wait until you're really down and out, and then they want to show off and show out. And I'm not saying that's all the time, but definitely more often than not. It's actually a statistic in that Safer Horizons published on their website. I've been, digging and trying to find as many facts as I could share with the audience this evening in lieu of this episode. So with that being said, I'm going to go to the next caller. Greetings. Welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Who are we speaking to and where are you calling from? Greetings. Welcome.
I believe this is Bruce James. I'm calling from New York, New York, Harlem, New York.
Hi, Bruce. How are you, Bruce?
What's going on, Didi?
I am good. Y'all are listening to the CEO of Silent Noise Publishing. He just released A Literary Assault, which I am one of the authors in, and was a guest along with the other poets on an episode month before last. What's up, Bruce? What a pleasant surprise.
Oh, thank you, Didi. It's always a pleasure to talk with you and definitely join the show. I just, definitely wanted to jump on. I actually don't have any poetry to share, but I just, wanted to listen and see what, the poets and the community was talking to. Domestic violence is definitely something that's important to discuss in all communities. So I just want to jump in and just give you a shout and definitely encourage, the writers and the authors and the folks to continue to tackle this controversial and important topic.
Well, thank you so much, Bruce. And so, I have to dig into you a little bit. haven't spoken to you in a while. So, in lieu of you listening, do you have any knowledge, experience with, or anything inspirational aside from, you know, reminding the poets that we do have some duties in terms of writing about these things? And is there anything you would like to share regarding yourself personally dealing with this issue?
I'm absolutely just you know, in terms of, you know, one of my first jobs kind of like out of college was to I was the director of a community center. So we had, you know, tons of parents and families to come in there and really talk about issues they were having, you know, and domestic violence was one of those issues. So just, you know, having the support and the resources available for people to talk to about that is definitely an important topic. And, you know, I think one of the biggest resources was definitely like some of the women's center, you know, centers for women to go who were battered. But, you know, I don't want to forget about the brothers. So, you know, I think it's always important to have a place to go to talk about, to just really get away if you're in a bad situation.
Absolutely. And the community is definitely and hopefully a place people feel comfortable going. And so I'm going to throw it out there. I threw it out there at the top of the show. I'm not quite sure if you caught the question, but because you don't have any poetry to share and we have a few minutes, I do want to know, why do you think, in your own opinion, is this topic still so taboo? You know, it's like racism, like mental illness, like suicide. You know, people talk about it, and I'm so very grateful for this episode and for the honesty and courage of those who called. But why do you think, in general, in other settings, people really don't want to talk about it?
Yeah, I think one of the root issues is definitely, you know, in America, you know, specifically just talking about America, I think, you know, we're a violent, you know, society. I think, you know, violence, you know, a lot of times starts in the home. You know, people aren't dealing with their anger, you know, whether it's anger management or any kind of psychological problems. People aren't dealing with kind of the root of the problem, you know, and I think that's kind of the spark. And then as one of the authors talked about, you know, the fear of, you know, the relationship, the issues that come along, you know, financial things, you know, different things that people can't really channel their anger and they start to fight. So sometimes I think domestic violence is a lot of time about power and who has the most power. And it can come from both sides. You know, I think the man can have a lot of power, and, you know, whether it's physical or verbal, you know, abuse, it can happen that way. And I think the woman mm-hmm. can have the power, you know, and I think if those issues aren't addressed and talked about, whether through counseling or, you know, whether it's at a, you know, psychologist or faith-based counselor, I think it's very important if someone, you know, starts down that road that it's addressed early, you know. So I think, you know, it all comes back to the issue of power.
Absolutely. And I don't want to give any credence to anybody who is abusive, but you saying that just made me think that perhaps if you know someone who is being or borderline abusive, that you even suggest to them to reach out to the community to possibly get some help before it escalates into, you know, someone getting seriously hurt or hurt, period. It's not just yeah. the victims that need the help. It's the abusive people that also need the help.
Absolutely. It's on both sides.
Well, I appreciate the call. Y'all have to follow Silent Noise Pub. There is an event coming up next Saturday in Philadelphia on November 7th. Bruce, please speak to that a little bit, as well as where audience members can purchase this dope anthology, A Literary Assault on the American Mind.
Absolutely. Thanks for that plug. Definitely pulling the artists from A Literary Assault together for a huge project that we've been working on. So it's called Lenses, Paintbrushes, and Poetic Pieces. It'll be held at the Soup Factory Art Studio in Philadelphia. It's definitely a collection of artists from, you know, New York, Philadelphia, Delaware, along with the artists of A Literary Assault, just coming together to have a nice, good old time. You know, it'll be, you know, some poetry reading. There'll be some artists, you know, talking and showing their work. You will have some wine and cheese happening, and everybody, you know, a little music playing, so everybody can just come and have a good time. It's a great event to bring your lady or your man to, and just come out and meet some real nice artists and get your book signed, and also, you know, purchase some artwork if you need some stuff for your house. So once again, it's going to be on November 7th at the Soup Factory Studio in Philadelphia, and you can follow me on Instagram or Facebook at Silent Noise Pub or Silent Noise Publishing. Just look that up. And thanks for
and
that.
And that's DJ. Also, you're welcome. And also the book can be purchased at silentnoisepublishing.com. I also repost occasionally, and I'm going to repost this event as it approaches next Saturday. If you all haven't purchased it, support Bruce, support myself, support 30 poets who contributed poetry from different walks of life into this anthology regarding their experience with America. And so thanks, Bruce, once again. Definitely don't hang up. Stay with us.
Yeah, I'll definitely be on listening in.
Okay, hold on one moment. Ooh, I'm so proud of this episode. I'm just so proud of this episode. I am very shocked. Also, there is another call waiting who I am going to be getting to in a moment. But it's like a lot of men are speaking up. And thank you, men, for speaking up on behalf of victims, on behalf of resources, poetry, information, encouragement. I mean, wow. And I'm very glad that it was also a 90-minute episode, because otherwise, you know, perhaps some voices wouldn't be heard. It's not too late. If you would like to speak on the air this evening, if you're listening on the phone line, please press *1 and you will go into queue and I will get to you. If you're listening online at blogtalkradio.com/poetrytolife, please use the chat box to send questions, comments, and feedback. I'm going to the phone lines. Greetings. Welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Who are we speaking to and where are you calling from?
Hi, Didi. This is Authentically Speaking from California.
Hi, Authentically Speaking from California. How are you this evening?
I'm doing very well. And yourself?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. I'm so glad that you were able to call in and get through also. What, if anything, do you have to contribute to the conversation and any information, anecdotes, encouragement you would like to share?
Well, for one, I just think that men who use their power or their strength to abuse women or intimidate women, I think it's just very cowardly, and I am not a victim of domestic violence. I've never been in a relationship that where a man has abused me or where I have abused a man. All I can say is that I grew up in a toxic household, and all I can say is that I can agree with the fact that it definitely comes from something deep down inside. You know, no one wakes up one day and just says, you know, I want to mentally, physically, or emotionally abuse someone. So I definitely agree with what you said a couple of minutes ago, that not only the victim needs to get help, but the abuser should as well get help.
Absolutely. We can't heal one without healing the other and expect it to stop or decrease at all. So thank you so much for sharing that, Nichelle. And I'm not sure, I believe you have poetry to share, being the poetess that you are. But really quickly, before I forget, because you just said something that kind of triggered this thought, I remember when the incident occurred with Rihanna and Chris Brown. And at the time, I was teaching sixth grade. I currently teach seventh grade. But, you know, all the girls at that time were Chris Brown fans, die hard. And I, you know, had a brief conversation with them about it. And, you know, I said, so who's to blame here? And so I said, if you believe Rihanna is to blame, raise your hand. Do you know that most of the class rose their hands and said it was Rihanna's fault? Now, I don't know what premise they based this opinion on. They were 11 years old, 12 years old at most. And, you know, children are children. But it was just, to me, it was shocking. I definitely didn't expect that many children to raise their hand blaming the victim. At that point, you know, her picture of her face had went viral, and they were still angry at her for what Chris Brown did. And I just wanted to throw that out there. In a lot of ways, it kind of reflects and represents, you know, our society, and it's unfortunate. But, yes, thank you for sharing that and sparking that thought as well. Do you have poetry to share this evening?
I do have poetry. It's actually more so a story, a true story, but I just wrote it. So bear with me if I stumble over my words. I've only practiced reading it once. But it's a true story.
We appreciate it. Yes, we're listening, Nichelle, whenever you're ready. Authentically speaking, pardon me. We're ready.
Okay. The name of this piece is called Kiki. Kiki was loyal. Kiki was faithful. To a man with anger issues, a man who refused counseling. That's a coward in my eyes. He must have thought, I don't want help. I want to just keep on slamming your feminine frame that's weaker than mine up against these cold walls. Speaking of cold walls, if walls could talk. Facades, 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 that's what they live by. Attending family reunions, waltzing in like the perfect little family, far from perfect on their best days, broken on the inside, fragile on the outside. One day, Mr. I ain't going to counseling lost it. Kiki was pregnant and her eldest was 5 years old. He had been drinking and his aggression worsened. He had Kiki pinned on the bed by way of his hand on her throat. She was scared for herself, but more worried about her unborn child. Kiki wasn't the only one abused. Abuse affects everyone. Kiki's oldest daughter was mentally abused from watching Daddy hit Mommy. Her unborn child was abused from the impact of the blows and Mommy's emotional stress. And Kiki, poor Kiki experienced every type of abuse, physical, mental, emotional. Everyone in a toxic household suffers. He had Kiki pinned on the bed by way of his hand on her neck. He had already punched her. Her face hurt, and yet she still thought, the baby. The night was different. This night was different. Kiki was on the verge of death. Her husband had completely crossed over to the dark side with no intention of coming back. Kiki's last breath was surely on his agenda. Those cold walls must have cried out that night because the eldest child woke up. Sleepy eyes and a shocked 5-year-old stood in the doorway. Go back to bed! Was what the beast yelled. But she couldn't walk away. Mommy was in danger. I want my mommy, was what she said. Kiki looked at the beast with desperation in her eyes. Silence. The beast released his grip, resenting his seed because she ruined his moment. He left. He was angry that his daughter would not obey him and allow him to continue. A 5-year-old saved her mother's life. 4 little words. I want my mommy. She just wanted her mommy. Nothing more, nothing less. 4 little words is the reason why Kiki is alive today. And that's the end of that piece.
Wow. Wowzers. I want my mommy. And can never forget the children. The children, the children. And God bless the children. Thank you so much for sharing that piece and you know, hopefully inspiring someone to get out of that situation and not remain in a situation that way. And to, you know, of course, when kids are involved, to think of the kids. So thank you, Authentically Speaking. Authentically _ speaking 12 on Instagram. We don't have a lot of time left. I'm going to go to the next caller, but please stay with us if you can for the next 10 minutes of the episode.
Okay, thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Hold on. Wow. I'm going to go to the next caller because we don't have a lot of time. Please stay tuned in as we get to the last caller of the evening. Greetings. Welcome to the Poetic Soul Talk Show. Who are we speaking to and where are you calling from?
Lyrica Sergeant. I'm also calling from South California.
South Cali in the house. And what's your name again? I'm sorry.
Lyrica Sergeant.
Thank you so much for calling and waiting to be on the air. This is your first time on the Poetic Soul Talk Show. So we really welcome you and appreciate your time from on the other side of the country, because I'm in the boogie down Bronx. But no less, what, if anything, do you have to... Isn't it? That's right. And Cali, too. So, and we're united on the Poetic Soul Talk Show.
I lived in New York, too. I lived in Mount Vernon, New York, and in upstate New York, too.
Oh, wow. Mount Vernon is not far from where I am.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for calling in from across the country. And your name is Lyrical Soldier. And so what, if anything, do you have to say regarding the topic of domestic violence?
Well, one thing I know is that I'll never be of that domestic violence at all. And I think, I agree with a lot of the people that went before me. And that piece that Authentically Speaking, it was like real awesome. I actually thought like that was something she went through, but she already said before the piece that she never witnessed that. But it's crazy how like a writer could put themselves in their own shoes a lot of times.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, you'll be thinking if it's like she went through that or somebody went through that, whatever it is, you know. So that was a dope piece, though.
Thank you. Authentically Speaking is still on the line, so she definitely heard, and we appreciate that. And thank you once again for, you know, sharing your view regarding the topic. Would you happen to have a poem to share?
Does it have to be of the topic?
Well, if it could be somehow or another related, something, you know what? I cannot discriminate. This is the Poetic Soul Talk Show, and we openly accept anything as long as it doesn't have any profanity. I'm not quite sure if you caught the, you know, the protocol, because I know us poets, we're passionate and we cuss at times. But, you know, if you have a piece to share, even if it's not related to the topic, I'd still definitely like to hear it, especially more so since it's your first time calling in. I definitely don't want to turn poetry away.
Just had the piece that I was going to do.
While you are looking for that piece, I just wanted to remind all of the Poetic Soul Talk Show poets, listeners, speakers, that we have to keep this conversation going in different ways, shapes, and forms. And please to continue to follow the show. It may be ending soon. I didn't give any information regarding that because I'm still kind of on the fence. But we will. This is definitely not the last episode. And so please follow the new callers. Please follow those who you may have heard for the first time this evening, and definitely tune in to the episode Thursday after next, which I believe is November 12th. But, you know, we'll definitely be reposting and stuff on the Instagram page at Poetic Soul Talk Show regarding upcoming conversations. And so with that being said, did you find the poem yet?
Yeah, I found this poem called Inflection.
Great. Whenever you're ready, we're listening.
Kenneth Hahn Park, live in verses. Worth is ripples to the breath. Bench press and breathe. Rebirth me, see, must see the faith. Crave love, knowledge, spoken repetition. Mission to go back, spoken token. Golden nugget. In the past life, orange moon, how good it is. Tumen sparked the mind of the wicked. What is this voice you hear in my ears? I witness trees in news. Wind blows. Grew into a lover of self. Inflect, recollect. Relect, reflect. Gospel flow free, oceanic aroma. In peace.
Wow. Well, Well, thank you. What was the inspiration behind that poem?
Nature.
Nature. Thank you for sharing that. On Instagram?
I'm on Instagram, but I forgot my password, so.
Oh, well. Are you on Facebook? It happens.
Yeah.
Do you accept friend requests on Facebook?
Yeah.
What's your name on Facebook? Shout it out to the audience so we can send you friend requests and get to know you better.
Lyrical Soldier.
Lyrical Soldier. Lyrical
Soldier.
Spelled
with S-O-U-L-J-A-H.
Soldier. Like Pac said it. Soldier. Lyrical Soldier. I'm going to post that on our Instagram page as well as on my Facebook page and send you a friend request. But thank you so much for calling in this evening. Definitely don't make this the last time that you call, okay?
Most definitely.
Thanks. Hold on one moment. Hang with us. I am so glad that this episode was 90 minutes. I am so glad that everyone called in and shared. I'm even glad for those that called in and didn't share and just listened and perhaps gained and will pass the inspiration along because, of course, you know that's what we're all about on the Poetic Soul Talk Show, encouraging and extending the olive branch for those who are in need of it. And with that being said, I'm going to read this poem from my latest book, Dear Royals, Panhandlers, and Hopeful Souls, 42 Unpublished Letters. By the way, if you did not tune into the entire episode, you can always throw in your earphones or put your speaker on at work during your lunch break or however it goes, even listen to it in your car via Bluetooth, blogtalkradio.com/poetry2life, 2 being the number 2, to hear this entire episode as well as episodes that were recorded prior to today going way, way back. Please tune in and listen. There's so many very dope and talented artists, writers, and authors out there you must at least be exposed to. So with that said, I'm going to read this letter. It's called Dear Battered Sister. I know that this is a sensitive topic for you. Most of the time, you try to justify the abuse. You really do not want to hear that it is unacceptable, but it is. Your beauty stands stronger than that fist. The adjectives used to describe you from the mouth of a person who does not want you to believe that you are as valuable as you are lies. There's nothing wrong with you because you believe them. It takes time and sometimes a tragedy to wake up from the bad dream. I hope the spirit within you speaks sooner. It takes time to tell yourself the facts of the matter. Secrets kill. I repeat, secrets can kill. Stepping towards financial freedom outside of your comfort zone or into solitude is scary. But you know what? Staying in a situation, relationship, or an unsafe residence, meaning subjecting yourself to physical, mental, or emotional abuse, is a bit more scary. Ask me how I know. The challenge is not simply realizing and admitting it, but challenging all of your energy into rebuilding who you are. It takes time, sis. Whether it takes years for you to decide to put an end to it or you decide to stay, it remains your decision. How about convincing yourself that the choice is yours? There are many resources available. Fear immobilizes. It paralyzes. Finding courage is key. Maybe your courage lies in the church, your sister's porch, the bathroom, the library, or the lake facing your job. Go where it is and talk to yourself. Talk to God. For the love of all things beautiful, talk to someone. Do not go through this alone. Society is amazing. I remember being a little girl when Mike Tyson allegedly assaulted his then-wife, Robin Givens. I vaguely remember those around me blaming Robin Givens. I recall asking my students, sixth graders, who did they like less, Chris Brown or Rihanna, after domestic dispute between them? An overwhelming majority raised their hands to say Rihanna. Despite a degree in psychology, I remained baffled. Sister, I understand the shame. I dislike it, but I understand it. It would be less than fair to say life is fair. It is not. However, you can be fair to yourself and your family. It is okay to be. It is always okay to be. Know that you are loved. The process may be rough and long, but when you decide to, you will make it. You will never be the same, and that is an even more beautiful possibility. thank you all for tuning in to the Poetic Soul Talk Show this evening. Have a great night.